Today, I'm chatting with Charles Kale. He is an abstract painter here in Cookeville, Tennessee, and he is a student of art education at Tennessee Tech. Hey, Charles, how's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good. So, Charles, when did you take an interest in painting?
And painting, probably early on. I remember the first canvas I ever laid a brush on was probably, I was in the 7th or 8th grade, I think.
Okay. Yeah. So you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, off and on.
Yeah, so what made you decide to go to school for art?
That was a bit of a long road. After graduating high school, I had been working in factories for some time, several years, and then the factory burnt down and closed and moved on. So I decided I didn't want to work in factories forever, so I would go to college. And then I came to Tennessee Tech in the early 90s originally, and started off studying in the education program. Mm-hmm. And changed my major to fine arts with an emphasis on oil painting. And it was under Trella Kozwara, who was teaching at the time, that I really started getting a deep interest in actually producing artwork on canvas.
Okay. Yeah. So you work primarily with oil paint?
Yes.
Okay. Have you tried acrylic? Well, I'm sure you have, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the program.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't have the same feel to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoy the feel of the paint mm-hmm. on the canvas. And
it's an experience.
Yeah, acrylic has its own feel. I prefer the oil.
I find with acrylic, you're just like trying to move so fast before it dries. Where oil paint, you can go take a break, you can get a cup of coffee, sit outside for a little while, come back. Indeed. You can take even like 2 days off if you want.
And while I do always paint everything in one session.
Do you?
That session may run 5 or 6 hours straight sometimes. And you're right. I want the first thing I did to still be to still be wet at that point so I can do something with it.
Mm-hmm. And your style is really unique. How did you come up with that style? How long did it take you to get to that?
Yeah, several years. At first I worked on, more objective stuff. I would paint the objects that I saw, and then I would kind of do these interesting abstractions in the background.
Mm.
And I took a year and went to Memphis. Studied art there, and the person teaching art there was a Larry Edwards, and he was a very figurative painter, a lot of symbolism and figures and things. But one day in a critique, he was famous for making people angry in critiques. But after studying here for as long as I did, he didn't bother me that much. But the one thing he did say that kind of set me off was he suggested that I stop doing the objects and just do the backgrounds.
Hmm.
And that angered me to the point that I said, okay, I'll show you how easy it is to just do the backgrounds and it won't mean anything. And it turned out I was wrong and he was right. And I've kind of been on that journey since.
That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So a trigger is what brought you to where you are.
Yeah,
now.
It was kind of just I want to show this guy,
and you enjoy painting that way now, clearly, because it seems like that's what you, a majority of your work is abstract.
Yeah, and there will be some impressionism or abstract impressionism in there where mm-hmm. there may be some recognizable objects or backgrounds or something. But
oh my gosh, one of them you did, it looked like, I don't know if this was intentional, it looked like there was a piano in it.
See, that's great.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely not.
I have no idea.
But that's your personal experience, and that's kind of what where I'm at right now. I'd rather create a personal experience for someone else without my intervention.
All right, more of our conversation with Charles Kale coming up on the scene. I'm here with Charles Kale. He is an abstract painter here in Cookeville, Tennessee. He is also a student of art education at Tennessee Tech. So you're an oil painter. Run me through start to finish how you create a piece.
Sometimes I just have an idea in my head of a color or a color combination, and I'll just pull a canvas off. And sometimes if I want a rectangle, that is kind of a choice that the art makes, because if you orient the rectangle vertically, it tends to have more energy in the piece. Hmm. You go horizontally, they tend to be less energetic, I guess would be. And then that's really the first move of the game.
Is that a personal belief?
I think you'll see that. I mean, it's kind of given.
I'm wondering, like, because I haven't heard that. That's interesting. Yeah. So is that something that you adopted on your own, or were you taught that?
Yeah, I've heard that from multiple sources, and it kind of sits well with me,
so
I believe it to be true.
Yeah.
Lately I've been going to squares.
Okay.
So, because to me it's kind of like a chess game, and using a square kind of gives me the first move, whereas when you have a rectangle and you lay it one way or the other, the rectangle kind of has the first move.
Okay.
And then I play off of that. And I'll lay down my backgrounds, or I'll do a wet surface usually. Right now is what I've been doing.
Are you using mineral spirits, or do you use like a whitewash, or?
Yeah, I've used mineral spirits, and they're completely different. What I'll be using now is like a safflower oil.
Mm, okay,
it's a longer drying; takes a little longer to dry than a linseed, and. So I'll go ahead and wet the canvas with that, and I may introduce a background color at that point, or I may start off with a black canvas and then do that and put color, but it'll be more of a transparent color, like your alizarin crimsons or phthalo greens or something, or a Prussian blue sometimes is my favorites. And sometimes you can't even really see it. So sometimes the things you do that you can't see, you would notice them if they weren't there later.
Yeah.
And so I let that kind of happen, and then from there, I'll make a move, I'll make a mark, or something. I'll just start moving the brush around with something, and then I'll just start building off that. And like a chess game, I'll just continue to make moves back and forth. And I like to create a lot of contrast, not only between the color, but between textures. And I think everybody's familiar with the color wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I think of textures on that same scale. Mm-hmm. Where you can arrange textures on a wheel where you have opposing textures, where one alone may have a certain amount of energy or space to it, but when you put them side by side or in contrast to each other, it creates a whole new vibration. And so I try to do that as much as possible with line, creating different and opposing line weights, opposing complementary colors, textures, depths. I try to do as much of this as I can to the point where it may exhaust some people.
But it's necessary. You got to have contrast in your work, especially like you said, with the texture. That's something that I've been experimenting with lately, is not just variation in the texture, not just one medium. Mm-hmm. I use mediums to create texture. So sometimes I'll use like a big thick medium for the texture, and then alongside it I'll just use paint for texture. So it creates a variation. It creates interest.
Yeah, and then complementary depths. I'll try to create something that looks like it's a million miles away, and then have something that looks like it's right there where you can touch it.
Now, do you mix your own colors, or do you use them directly out of the tube and then mix them on the canvas? How does that work?
Yeah, I stick my palette to 9 colors.
Okay.
That's it. If I introduce another color, that's a really big deal.
What are your colors?
I think I added a color, back in 96 or something, and haven't added one since. It goes phthalo blue, Prussian blue, and then phthalo green. And I'll I've kind of been going back and forth between one of the umbers, burnt or raw or something, or... And then an alizarin crimson, and then a medium cadmium red, and then a cadmium orange, and then say a medium yellow light or something in that range.
Yeah. Are you creating colors from that palette, or are you using? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I can pretty much create every color that I want to from that. On the advice of one of my new instructors, I did buy a tube of some kind of purple, some kind of metallic looking purple. It doesn't have a metallic sheen to it, but it's just very vibrant purple. And I agreed to it just simply because I wasn't sure how I could make that color on my own.
Yeah.
And he said, you can't.
So
I said, okay, I'll try it.
Gotcha.
And you'll see that in one or two of my pieces since then.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, more of our conversation with Charles Kale coming up on the scene. I'm here with Charles Kale. He is a student of art education at Tennessee Tech, and he's also an abstract oil painter. So, Charles, where do you get your inspiration to create? How does that work?
From literally everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It may just be a pattern of lights I saw at night, or it could be a walk through a casino. I mean, these things all kind of interact with us, and I may, and like I said, I'm really concerned about just making that first move on the canvas. So that's all the inspiration I need.
Your paintings are like, they're not, they look real, night, they have like a night element to them. They don't have a, like a nature element. They're more, how would you describe what your abstract paintings are?
There may be a balance between things. Mm-hmm. Some people see clouds, some people see nebulas.
I see like objects. I see like man-made objects with a universal sky.
Yeah. And that's perfect.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some of the very squared off areas that I'll create, to me, that is more man-made.
Yeah.
You know, cause you don't really tend to see that unless it's, you know, looking at some crystalline structures or something, but,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, to me, the very straight and orderly parts of it tend to be more the man-made type thing. And mm-hmm. then the more random, fluid things, they may be the more the chaos or entropy being introduced into it.
And then
then there's that contrast again that I'm trying to introduce is the contrast between what we think we can control and what we actually control.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite artist? One who inspires you?
Well, Kazuhara definitely inspired me immensely. And then, you know, going all the way back to the forefathers of abstract painting, you know, Piet Mondrian, not so much his paintings, except that his reduction of form to just very simple things affects me. But his philosophies about what abstract should be and how the pursuit of a truth that can't be obtained by, you know, mimicry of objects through patterns or colors and kind of, if you have any interest in that and you might look up Piet Mondrian, that would be a definite. And even the Cubists, you know, your Picassos and stuff, I'll introduce multiple time frames in a single painting. Mm-hmm. You may see the same object from different views or different points in time.
Ooh,
and that's like another contrasting element.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. When you say it like that, you kind of get lost in that, start thinking about that.
Yeah, and that, to me, that's a successful painting. When someone says to me, I sat and looked at this for an hour.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. And that's all I really care about is if it's interesting, then that's great.
Yeah, I get that. I always am flattered when people look at my work for a long time. I want them to, you know, like mm-hmm. I want them to see what went into that and really appreciate it, you know, instead of just kind of glancing at it and, oh, it's nice, walking off. I'm like, no, look at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See the blood, sweat, and tears that went into this. Please appreciate it.
Yeah, and what I do is not for everybody. You know, some people look at it and just it does not affect them at all, and that's fine too.
Well, that's like music. Yeah. You like the music you like. I like the music I like. You know, we're all just different, but your people will find you.
Yeah. I have no interest in creating art that's everyone likes.
No.
If everyone likes it, then I'm not sure what you did.
It's just mainstream. It's
I'm not even sure if it's that. It's just it's air then.
Yeah.
Everybody likes air.
And yeah. So. No, I'm with you. I used to try and want to create things, you know, because I sell it for a living, so like my survival depends upon it.
Sure.
And so I had to get to a place where I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to do me, and I know my people will find me, and they do, and it's so rewarding because it's, you know, then you're painting from that, you're painting from your heart, and you're trusting that everything will work out, and it always does. So where can people find your work? I found you on Instagram.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm posting right now is the Instagram page under CKL Art or... I can't remember. The other one is Kale Art 2020, I think.
Okay.
There's a couple of them if you're interested in that kind of thing.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I'd be happy to have more followers.
Awesome. Yeah. for sure. All right, Charles, we appreciate you coming out to the show. It was such a pleasure meeting you.
Well, thank you very much.
And I wish you the best of luck.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
All right.